Hey, welcome to the Product Leadership Podcast from Lighthouse London, where we talk about how to validate, launch, and maintain successful digital products with product owners, innovators, digital experts, and founders. Lighthouse London are a digital design and product development team who spent the last 10 years helping people conceive, build, and steer digital products. You can find out more about us and more podcast episodes at wearelighthouse.com. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, Tom here, and I'm joined today by Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm not bad, not bad. Today we're going to be talking about priorities, more in the series of product leadership stuff that we like to talk about. And priorities are for, I suppose, dev teams, design teams, people who own products who need to work out what they work on next. So we always tell people to run a product like you would run a business. So treat it like any traditional limited company or whatever you want to call it. Evaluate it using similar kind of metrics because you want to make sure that your product is accountable and continually provides value. So running a business is quite hard. There's always a lot to stay on top of. It requires a lot of prioritization skill, which is pretty hard to come by and a tough challenge. There's always more work than time, and understanding what's important at any point in time is the difference between success and failure. In recent years, the job title product manager has come into play a lot more than it used to. It's not enough to understand which development tasks are important or which users are the ones who will grow the product the most. Someone has got to be on top of all this and has to understand what's most important across all departments, and that could be several. So that's a pretty hard task, and what we're going to outline today are a number of areas in which you can be paying attention to, and that's product owners specifically, but also for anyone involved in the process that you should be tracking, paying attention to make sure that your product has a kind of a long lasting life ahead of it. Dan's going to run through the four key areas that we think are priorities for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right when this is the flip side of running a product like a business, which is that, of course, you want the product to provide value, but running a business is hectic and the things you need to focus on change all the time, and that's the same with the product. So how you keep on top of that really impacts on how successful your product is. I think the things we always tell people as part of when we're talking about our product leadership framework, there's some simple things people can do, and they're not kind of like use this bit of software or that bit of software to prioritize. There's lots of things out there you can use, but it's more the principles you should go by. And the first one of those is get some focus. If you're running a product, even if you're just doing it yourself, you've probably got a million things you think are important. A 10-person team is therefore going to have 10 million things that they think is important. Depending on the person's discipline, they're going to give you, as the product owner, all the things they think need to be done. You'll hear people say, oh, we need to focus on this niche or that segment, or no, suddenly I've realized it's much bigger than that. We need to expand this out to be a more general tool. And those things never stop coming. So really what you've got to do is say, okay, let's set who we are focusing on. So you can do that through user personas is a good way to decide which audience you're focusing on. Mm-hmm. And also what the kind of goals are for the product. So do you want to get your first early adopters on? So are you looking at just getting 10 people to use this in the next month? Are you looking to increase the amount of people that know about your product because you think that when people know about it, they generally start using it? Where are you in that, in your product life cycle?
Yeah, it's wholly dependent on where you are at that point in time.
Yeah, completely. So the problem people have is that often they're not completely sure, right? So at the beginning, you say, okay, it's a bit of a shot in the dark. I think this type of person is going to like my product. And that's fine. It's much better to say, okay, I'm going to treat that as an experiment. I'm going to try and find that person. I'm going to try and find out if they like my product. And I'm going to set myself an amount of time in which to do that in. Mm-hmm. But during that period of time, that is my focus. So any ideas that are about other personas, I'm just going to put them to one side. And those are experiments, which anyone who kind of innovates new products will tell you they're running. That's kind of a little hack in your own brain, right? To be like, how am I going to focus? Okay, I'm running an experiment. So mm-hmm. Don't worry about the fact that I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing. As long as this experiment has an end point where I say, okay, is this for schools or is this for corporates? That's fine. And then use that focus to kind of as like a filter for all the ideas and all the tasks you need to do. And any tasks that don't fit the we need to get more users of this type, or we need to ramp up the feature set in this place. You know, that might, it might be a different goal. Whatever your goal, filter the ideas through that and act on the things that get through that filter, and put everything else into the big list of things that might happen one day.
Yeah, we've certainly spoken to a lot of people over the years who didn't have that focus, who come to us with a with an idea that was sound, and you could see the chance of it succeeding being quite high, but they didn't know what to do because they just, you know, the market was too broad and they just couldn't decide what to do based on who they were trying to target, which is very difficult. But then when you, you work with them to figure out a subset of the potential customer, it all becomes way clearer.
Yeah. Completely. There's nothing worse than a this product is for everyone and it has to do everything.
The classic is for people aged over 10 and under 60.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, there are successful products that do that, right? So Facebook,
didn't start
for example. No, they didn't start like that. And that's the key thing. At the beginning, they grew because they had a focus.
Well, it's worth pointing out that Facebook started as a tool for university students at Ivy League schools in the States.
Yeah.
And that's how it started out. Or it was even just Harvard and Stanford, is that right? Something like that?
Two universities. Is what in the movie's true.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. that's now the history of Facebook in my mind. It's easier to focus and to set priorities, which will help you grow if you've got that, if you've got those things you're aiming for and you know what they are and the team knows what they are. Because when the team are coming at you with lots of ideas, if you've communicated down what the focus is, then the team will self-filter.
Yeah.
You know, if you're telling the team we need to scale, then the development team are going to stop coming to you with ideas about tiny little features, new features, and start coming to you with new technology stacks that might help you. You know, and you can spend less time kind of filtering ideas yourself. You can basically, if you communicate down what the focus is, everyone's happier and you get more done.
And this works when you're developing a product from launch as well. So it's not just when you're starting out, it's not just when you're hitting early adopters like you say, but if you're live, have been going for some time, you know, your focus might be on one type of user at one point, and that again you can bring that persona into play when you're developing your next set of features. Potentially it's a new target audience you want to hit, or it could just be working on the ones that you already work with, and tying that back to that person is really important.
Completely. There's so many phases your product will go through. You can't tell, and this is why it's like a business. Like at Lighthouse, we don't know exactly what our focus is going to be in 6 months because things will change. What people want from us will change, and what we want to do will change. So we're not going to set now what we're going to be doing in 6 months, but nor are we going to just say we don't know what we're doing now. We're going to focus on the thing we think is right and do it. And, you know, a product goes through so much, from that validation stage through to where your focus is meeting users and testing things, through to you might need some investment, at which point the focus is going to be great.
Yeah, very different focus.
Yeah. And so if you know what your focus is, you communicate that, that will help you prioritize what to do.
Hi, this is Russ from Lighthouse. A big part of my role is planning and designing usable and effective product interfaces. Check out some of the stuff we've been working on recently at wearelighthouse.com/ourwork.
Another thing, and this seems obvious, is to just keep things as simple as possible and actually, you know, fight for that simplicity. That is both a good way to prioritize because you'll get more done. And if you listen to the tasks that you've got to do, so if you're looking at a feature or you're looking at a type of user and you're seeing it as this massive undertaking, like, oh, we need to sell into corporates now. Well, how do we meet that corporate? Well, okay, we need to hire a salesperson. Okay, well, we've never done that. So you end up with a kind of like, well, this task is starting to look like a big one. Or it could be a feature, like we're going to implement a chatbot on our site, or we're going to implement some new exciting thing, and the dev team are saying, oh, we're not sure quite how we'll do this, or people are giving you wildly different quotes if you're going out looking for it. And it seems like, oh, there's a lot of uncertainty here and a lot of risk. And the key thing to do is listen to that and let that form your priorities. Because if there is a way of getting some traction, of meeting some users that doesn't involve the salesperson, of building usefulness for your customers that doesn't involve that massive piece of dev work, if there's a way to do that, then that's your path.
The risk is the right word there, right? You know, the big complex things are risky to do and to get right. So you want to just get rid of as much risk as possible. And simplicity is the key there.
Sometimes it is the key piece of value you're providing. And so that's fine. But let the complexity of it fight with that necessity of it, and let that form your priorities. The good thing about that is it's not just about helping you prioritize. A simple product is a good product.
Yep.
You know, simplicity trumps over, not just in prioritizing, simplicity trumps in pretty much across the board in product design and development. So the M in MVP stands for minimum, right?
Yep.
So if you're focused on that, then your priorities will become simpler to prioritize, and you'll get yourself into less places where you've got a load of complexity you've got to deal with. It's key just to be good at saying no to stuff, and that's that's kind of productivity management outside of building things as well. You know, in life, people say, you know, say no to more things, and you'll have more time for other stuff. It's the same in your kind of, in the things you need to do for your product.
It's sometimes nice to have the ability to compromise on certain things. So you have your grand plan, something that's very difficult, complex, hard to do, budget, time, whatever, will often introduce a constraint, and that can actually be a really healthy thing. So being forced to make a decision as how to cut complexity out of certain things kind of pushes you to be simple, which is actually a really good place to be in sometimes. We've seen very good results come out of that sort of stuff, and complex things that were planned don't get built and ultimately weren't needed.
Yeah, and it's a place where, dare I say it, innovation can happen.
Yeah, if you've got to find out interesting ways to solve complex problems, then real good work can come out of that.
The next thing I'd say is basically to kind of to gather information and value that information. So by information, I mean you're going to have to prioritize things. You need to know as much as possible. So this could be internally from your team, or if you're talking to people to partner with, like agencies, get estimates from them, you know, and value those estimates for what they are. Also value the information you get from potential customers. So make sure you're going out there and doing your research, because that will help you then choose what to work on. And, you know, when it comes to estimates, I think we see a lot of issues with people, especially if they're working with external agencies, who kind of mix up getting proposals with someone for getting a proper estimate. And I think it's important to understand that humans are bad at estimating, and in a proposal situation, they're probably estimating for motives other than giving you an exact time for how long a feature will take to be delivered.
Absolutely.
You know, they're estimating based on their own businesses, and they're trying to win your work. So let people estimate in as an unbiased position as possible, and listen to them, and accept, ask them how confident they are in that estimate. Some estimates are fine as ballparks if you're just trying to work out, should we even attempt this? But if you're then coming down to how much this is going to cost, you probably want a more refined estimate. So, you know, treat estimates what they are. They're things that are temporary, and they have a level of confidence, and don't mistake someone trying to win your work for someone telling you exactly how long it will take, because a good estimate's of value. That information is of value to you, and if you get it right, it can be helpful to you. If you get it wrong, it can be very damaging. And the same with user research, you know, get the research right. You know, we talk all the time about the mum test, and I'm sure there's another podcast in this. Get that right, and that'll be valuable information. Get it wrong, and it's damaging information.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants surprises in all this. They don't want to start doing something and then realize that actually it was much bigger than they thought. I mean, that can happen, certainly in development, which can be very complicated. This also calls back to the simplicity idea as well. So if you've got something simple you're trying to make, you can be more confident in your estimates as to how long things will take. If you've got something that's complex and it hasn't been thought out enough, that could go wildly wrong from an estimating point of view, and you really want to stay away from that as much as possible.
The big problem agencies have is accurately estimating how long design and development projects are likely to take. We're no different, so we've been testing, developing and iterating our own solution, Plexi, for a while now. We're just about to release it to the public, so head on over to wearelighthouse.com/Plexi, that's PLEXI, to read the story and check it out. ¶¶ I think the final thing we say to people when they're trying to prioritise is to sort of stay flexible, accept that these priorities are going to change. You know, it's almost like you can't stop the tide coming in and out, but you can learn to surf it.
Yep.
Quote me.
Nice, I like it.
I heard it said about something else, but not prioritisation.
Okay, so it's not yours at all.
I've repurposed it. This is why when people talk about agile, and I'm not getting into discussion about what agile is right now.
We can do that another day.
Yeah, absolutely, and it will never end. But whether you kind of commit to an agile process where you're running sprints and you've got a scrum master and these kind of things, and you've got a proper backlog that mm-hmm. you're maybe doing scoring in terms of how long things will take to work out what to work on next, whether you're doing that whole process or not, you should embrace the spirit. And the spirit of agile is that basically you're not kind of forming long-term plans. You are constantly reassessing what's important.
Yep.
You have goals, that's fine, you know, but they can change as new information comes in. You'll know more about what you need to do tomorrow than you do today, so make sure you're constantly reassessing the decisions you take.
When you don't want to be 6 months from your next release, you want to be, you know, weeks or a month or something.
That's
away. That's how to stay on top of that idea that a product changes a lot, even a website or whatever changes a lot. So you want to be doing regular updates to it, not these huge, huge, complicated projects that sit there, take ages, have no customer feedback, go nowhere except in a dev team, and then get released to... what, you know, it might go well, might not. You can never quite tell. And that agile way of thinking kind of stops that happening, or certainly gives your product the best chance of learning as much as possible in its life cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Iterate quickly and roll with those outside factors you can't control. Like, make sure you've got a process that can handle them. So yeah, I mean, that's the four, really. You know, just to recap them, it's to basically make sure that you have a documented focus so you can filter all the million things you need to do and all the ideas you have through it, and make sure that, you know, only the key things are making your to-do list. Listen to how complex things sound, how hard things are. If they're difficult but not of great value, then put them down the list, you know. Fight for simplicity in your product and in your process. Make sure you get the right information to help you prioritize, so both in user research and also in estimates of how long things will take from if they're things that you aren't expert doing yourself, and have a process which allows all of this to change all the time but still keeps you with knowing what you need to be doing next.
Thanks for listening. If you want more product leadership content, then head over to the Lighthouse site, wearelighthouse.com, for more podcasts and blogs. To find out more about our product leadership framework, check out wearelighthouse.com/PLF. Find us on Twitter using @WeAreLighthouse, and if you've enjoyed the show, then we'd love a rating in iTunes to help spread the word. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to see the archive and get any future shows. Until next time, we'll see you then.